It's time for Volunteer Voices on Classic Country 90.9. The voice of the volunteers, Rusty Taylor, joins Stadium PA announcer Tommy Wood for a look back at
Hello, I'm Lucas Browning, the Energy Services Representative at Coosa Valley Electric Cooperative, here to help you keep those energy bills cool this summer. Keep your air conditioner set around 78 degrees and consider bumping it higher when leaving home for the day. Also, keep window coverings like blinds closed on extremely hot days to keep the heat from entering your home. It makes a world of difference. Need more tips? Visit CoosaValleyEC.com today. That is CoosaValleyEC.com.
All things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant and Radio Alabama Sports. Now, here are Coach Chris Heron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you here live from Monte Alban No. 2 on our second installment of Football Fiesta, coming off a big win last week over the Hanley Tigers for the Volunteers, and we have got a full show this week. We'll be going from 6 to 10, as always, or 6 to 10, my goodness, 6 to 7.
I hope not.
I think got you guys nervous.
I'll be in the bed. You're getting in my bedtime, man.
Yeah, I saw both of you perk up.
Yeah.
I had to get your attention right off the bat somehow. But we'll be on from 6 to 7. The first segment will be recapping last week's game. The second segment, we're going to have our Clay Central Sports Network player of the game in with us, and also his position coach. We're going to have offensive coordinator Coach Chase Horn. We'll also have Deshaun Soap Gibbons, the quarterback, which will be receiving that award this week. We'll do that in the second segment. Then in the third, we're going to look a little bit at Benjamin Russell, our opponent tomorrow night in the big game. And then in the last segment, that'll come in about a quarter till, we'll recap our opponents, how they did last week, who they're playing this week, and then we'll go into 5A top 10 and who knows where else we'll go. So you'll want to stick with us right here. Good afternoon, man.
What's up, Taylor? Good to see you, man.
Yeah, I'm like you scared to.
Oh, we're ready to go, man. We are ready. I was a little nervous about 10 o'clock.
You called us speechless almost.
Yeah, that 10 o'clock business kind of got me there. Threw me a little loop.
There's a lot of different numbers in my head. I mean, different ones come out.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. If we had to, we could talk to 10 o'clock.
I get no problem.
We could handle it.
It wouldn't be any problem at all.
We could do it.
And it would sound just like it does right now.
But here tonight, hey, we are excited to talk about, you know, the Volunteers, Clay Central, and what things they did last week and where they're headed this week. And we're looking forward to this hour.
Well, we go back to last week's game, a 40-7 victory over Hanley. And I think when we went into the game, we felt like the edge would have been to the Volunteers. But by no means did we expect to score with an outcome like that. And really just a dominating performance by the Volunteers. I wanted just to get, before we get in depth in specifics, I want to get both of your take on last week's game.
Well, I thought, Rusty, that, you know, and we talked about it during the week leading up to the game, about each team, maybe the line of scrimmage was going to be a problem because they'd lost so many players on each side of the ball. And I felt like all along that whichever team gained control of the line of scrimmage would be the most successful. And I thought that our defensive line in particular gained control of that game pretty early and really turned it into a dominant performance. And Coach Heron, I think, you know, even though the offensive line did a good job, I felt like our defensive line took control of that game right off the bat, you know, forcing a turnover pretty quick. And they maintained that dominance for the entire time that the starters played, which was actually the first half.
I agree with you, Coach. You know, we kicked off to start the game, and the very first play of the game, you know, for whatever reason, that turnover happened. We got the ball back from Handley after just one defensive play. The defense, you know, the first thing, they set our offense up in great field position. You know, the offense is able to go and score that first possession. It took the offensive side of the ball, especially along the line, a couple of possessions to kind of get used to those guys kind of meshing together, first time game experience, and, you know, and playing in that type of environment as a unit for the first time. I did feel like after maybe into the third possession and on, they begin to do a better job picking up some of the twist, some of the stunning, slanting movement that was happening on the front. And but yeah, the defense, you know, they carried us from the beginning all the way through, and the offense come along and became very productive and showed just how explosive they could be at times. And when those two units were, you know, had it both going and working well, it was fun to watch the Volunteers as that game was taking place.
And you know, Handley is a team that prides themselves on their running game and being physical.
Right.
They had 78 yards total rushing in that football game, and,
right,
and half of that came in the fourth quarter when the starters had long since been taken out. So the defensive line really took control and dominated that game.
And on the other opposite side of the ball there, you've got Central, and, you know, and we know, I mean, Coach Horn, his staff, that, you know, they want to try to establish the run, and they did a good job of that. But what you have to – now what you worry about with going into this week, you know, that they did something that the Volunteers have not done very often ever in the history of the program. Coach Horn, you know, we've talked with him earlier this week, something that he hadn't been a part of often. Passed actually had a few more passing yards than they did rushing yards, and that type of balance, if they can stay anywhere close to that all year as the offense develops and their timing and their consistency, that presents problems to a defense if they're able to hold close to that type of balance as throughout the season in as it goes along.
And the passing game featured some explosive long plays, which means they, you know, opponents are going to have to keep their safeties honest
right
there,
right,
and not get them involved too much in the running game,
which gives you a few more opportunities to run the ball.
Exactly.
Right.
So good balance offensively led to the 40-point production.
We did see a couple guys getting a good many rushes up there. You had LaDamian Boyd. We'll speak to him real quick. I felt like specifically that LaDamian came back into the game. We've been talking about him maybe not being quite 100%. He looked much closer. He looked way more advanced than he did in the fall jamboree the week before to me. He just looked fresher. He was hitting the holes harder. So that was good to see. Kevin Cherry, which had been a little banged up during the week, kind of didn't get a lot of rushes till a little bit later, but he ends up with a touchdown, looked good running the football. And really, Damari Whetstone. We did not see Damari Whetstone carry the football. I don't believe at all if we did in the fall jamboree. It was just a time or two, but he looked really good last week in kind of a 1-2 punch with size, a bruiser guy, and then the speed of Boyd and Cherry. So it kind of gives you the 1-2 punch.
And one thing you got to remember coming out of that game, the carries and the rushing yardage is limited because of the amount of snaps that the starters played.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't think a starter played in the second half, so they did that basically in 24 minutes.
Well, Coach Herron, I know you'll be glad to talk about this. We talk about the rushing yards. We talk about the passing yards. We talk about all that. But there were some impressive stats there starting up on that offensive front, which really opened up the run game and the passing game. And just share a little bit about that offensive line, especially in week one.
Well, you know, a couple of returning starters up there, but some folks in new places. And as we've always said, and we know it, those five guys tackle to tackle, that's kind of that team within a team. And they need to play together. And the more they play together, you know, the better they should come. It's a group that should develop and as they gain that game experience. And I thought for the first game, they had some bumps and some hiccups here and there. The first couple of possessions, you know, kind of getting used to seeing exactly the game speed, the movements, the slants that were happening that Handley was presenting them. But those guys wound up, you know, a limited number of snaps because they didn't play a whole lot after into the second half, very deep into the second half. But you go across there, and they get graded, and you know, you look at them, and I think it was it speaks pretty highly to the guys. You know, we always want to, we say about being in the blue. That's being at 70% or higher. That's the goal for an offensive lineman. If he can be at 70% or higher, then he's probably given his team a pretty good chance to be successful. And out of our five guys up front, four of them did accomplish that last week. You had right guard J.D. Owens at 74. You had left guard Cole Rice actually at the highest at 81, up into the 80s. That's very, very, very good grade for an offensive lineman. Noah Peterson at right tackle at 79, and then left tackle Dewey Brown at 77. So those four guys in the blue, and then our center, Chance Helms, you know, just missed the blue by a couple of points. He's at 68. So if those guys can stay anywhere close to that type of consistency throughout, you know, this week and as the year builds and goes along, then they're going to give our offense a very good opportunity to keep those balanced numbers that we saw Friday night. And again, it just that's going to contribute to defenses having to keep safeties back, maybe playing too high at times, and it's going to challenge a defense. You know, if we're able to keep that balance and the offensive line can develop from the point that they're at now after their first game.
Well, let's look real quick at the defensive side of the football. Coach mentioned it. Coach Williams mentioned the defensive front obviously playing well. Those three guys for the Volunteers. We're talking about LeShamian Hardy, Miles Parker, and also Trendon Glenn. Trendon Glenn with a pick six.
Yes.
On a screen play. He's actually in here with us. Was able to talk.
And
to
what
him
about and the move he put on the quarterback?
He had to beat
the quarterback.
If you remember, and because Coach Horn reminded me of this.
Yes.
Last season he had an interception kind of the same way, mm-hmm. and was kind of run down and tackled,
right.
Didn't make it. He slimmed up. He's got faster. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit younger and made a great move. And he said he made sure he was going to get in the end zone.
He stuck it in there.
Earlier.
Absolutely.
And he did. So a great play. But on the back end of the defense, the secondary really allows those guys, you know, we was getting pressure with those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the back end of the defense is just really strong, I think, on the Volunteers. The secondary is as good as any secondary. Maybe, you know, is it as good or better than any secondary that's ever been at Central?
Well,
and that's something to say.
We've had some very good secondary players and some good secondaries back there, but I don't know that in the 12 previous seasons we've had four, five, six, that much depth and an overall secondary like as we're able to put on the field this year.
Well, one thing before we leave the Volunteers, that we've said all this and there's been a lot of positive, but the special teams was a little bit suspect, and Coach Horn and shared that was a possibility. He shared it on the coach's interview prior to the game. But, you know, that's something that I know they've worked at cleaning up this week. And it was some single mistakes. When you go back and watch film, it wasn't exactly what you might have thought live in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really didn't have a snap issue. You might could say you could, you know, maybe they're a little bit faster or whatever, but there was some blocking assignments missed. There was actually some lineup assignments missed on punt team. And then we missed a couple of extra points. I think we were 4 or 6 there, something that can be cleaned up. And then some of the kickoffs, you know, were a little bit line dry. So stuff we got to work through and get better, the Volunteers do. But I know they've worked very hard on it this week. But it didn't start this week. They've been working on it hard here off season.
But, you know, that's to be expected when you lost all those specialty people from last year and you're starting over. So it's going to take them time to jail and get their assignments down, and I think it'll get better each week.
Well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break, and we're going to gather up our Clay Central Volunteer. So what do we call it? I need to read the play. I don't want to say it wrong.
Clay Central Sports Network
Player of the Week.
Presented by
Bridges and Bows. We'll be giving that away, so we need to gather him up and Coach Chase Horn. So we're going to take a break, get those at the table with us, so you'll want to stick around right here on Classic Country 90.9.
From sleek modern kitchens to timeless classic styles, Integrity Cabinets has the perfect solution for every home. Their custom cabinets are designed to fit unique needs and taste, ensuring every detail is perfect. Integrity Cabinets, where quality meets integrity, building something amazing together. The phone number is 256-354-1431, and their website is integritycabinets.com. Integrity Cabinets, sponsoring the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Honey's Cafe at 60 Park South in Lineville is proud to sponsor local radio with the Radio Alabama Foundation. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 till 2. Honey's specializes in real country cooking, featuring a choice of three meats, fresh veggies, and cornbread or roll topped off with dessert. Honey's Cafe combines years of cooking experience in every meal. A meeting room is available for large groups. Phone 256-396-9101. Honey's Cafe in Lineville.
Piggly Wiggly in Ashland and Lineville proudly support the Radio Alabama Foundation and the Clay Central Sports Network. From farm fresh fruits and vegetables to frozen meals and dairy products, Piggly Wiggly is ready to serve you. They also have many local high school students who learn the value of teamwork and customer service as valuable employees. Located in the heart of Ashland and Lineville, Piggly Wiggly, down home, down the street.
Sassy's Convenience Store in Lineville is a proud supporter of Classic Country 90.9. Convenience is the name of their game, whether you're in need of gas, fishing gear, or just a hot meal. Sassy's has live bait and options to replenish your tackle box. Sassy's has non-ethanol gas, as well as off-road diesel. Open Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., and Saturday, 7 until 7. Sassy's also has breakfast to start your day, plus pizza, wings, and even grilled chicken salads. Sassy's Convenience Store, downtown Lineville. Excited to be a part of Classic Country 90.9.
The Clay Central Sports Network relies on sponsors like Farmhouse and Company. Nestled in the heart of Lineville, Farmhouse features an extensive menu that satisfies even the pickiest eater. Appetizers include new options, crazy corn riblets, fried cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. The full menu is available on the website at farmhousefeedsyou.com. The phone number is 256-396-3050. Farmhouse and Company is open Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. DoorDash is available. We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán number 2. This is Rusty Taylor. I'm joined by Coach Jerry Weems and a couple of special guests. I'll start at my far right. Coach Chase Horn, good to have you, Coach Horn.
Thank you guys for having us.
It's always good to be able to come here week one, right?
Yeah, it is.
After week one. And our other special guest, our Clay Central Sports Network player of the game, Soap Gibbons. Good to have you, Soap.
Thank you.
He's excited. He's ready to talk. I'm kind of putting a little added pressure with this microphone situation that we're doing here, but he's good. But going back, I'm going to start with you, Coach Chase Horn. It's hard to say just Coach Horn. I might confuse somebody, right? But I know you got to be very proud. You know, Soap was a wide receiver last year, secondary guy. Really didn't – I don't think he was getting hardly any or any reps really at quarterback. So to make that swap – over the summer, really, and into the fall without a spring, and to play a game week one like that, you've got to be very happy.
Yeah, I mean, he started out at quarterback when he was in ninth grade, and we needed some depth at receiver, so he kind of moved to the receiver position and did really well out there for us. And this year we just decided, you know, we might need somebody like him. I mean, a good leader, a good person, see what he could do, and he stepped in the role and took it by the reins, and he's done a great job for us. Like I said, like you said, I mean, he had spring just to go through here and there, and then summer is pretty much all he's learning. Last Friday night was his first game playing quarterback, and I thought he did an excellent job. And we still got things to work on, but I mean, I was very pleased with his performance and his leadership, and I'm just proud to have him as a quarterback right now.
Well, I'm going to quickly go over his stats last week. He was 7 for 10 for 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. On the rushing side, he also rushed for 43 yards and 2 touchdowns. And a big loss in there, and also had a touchdown or a long play, regardless of how they would have marked it, called back, that would have been added to those stats. And then he also had a fumble recovery on defense, so he's still – I know you got to be a little uncomfortable with your quarterback over there playing – cornerback some of the time too, but you adjust, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to adjust. Coach B knows, and I mean, we've talked about it. You know, in order for us to be a complete team and you know, win some games, he's gonna have to play a little bit of both. You know, he's worked hard to be able to do that. He's got himself into shape. And, you know, he knows the game, so I mean, I'm confident in him playing both sides of the ball. And I think, I mean, last night our last Friday night. He did a great job passing and running. So I'm just pleased to.
Coach, we are.
Honestly, me and my dad were talking about it. It might be the first game that we can remember where we had more passing yards than we did rushing yards.
First one I remember.
In a long time.
Let me mention this, Coach. You know, we've had some good quarterbacks in the past that were good runners. We've never really had a what you would call a pure passer that I can remember. But I think Soap brings to the table, he's kind of a dual threat. You know, he can run and he can throw. And that, you know, that's important because it keeps defenses honest. And we saw that last week with his rushing plays and his passing stats as well. So him being a dual threat really adds a lot to the offense.
Yeah, I mean, he puts a lot of pressure, you know, on the edge players right there to, you know, on the zones and the reads that we got, some of the RPOs that we do. You know, it puts the defense, they've got to account for him, which then again can open up some of the running lanes for us, which I thought it did last Friday, and I just hope that it does this Friday too. I mean, Ben Russell's got a good defense, and we just hope the game plan's ready to go and we can execute.
Well, so let me ask you this right quick. Last week you had that, you got pressured and you started scrambling around, and I think you ended up losing maybe 21 yards on that play. What did the coaches say to you this week about that particular play? What was their advice to you in that situation?
Just try to stay in the pocket, but like if I can throw it away, and that's what I was trying to do, but there was too many people around me, so I just took the sack. Did the next down.
Well, that's a good. I think they're comfortable with Soap understanding the adjustments he needs to make. But going back to last Friday night, Soap, you had a really outstanding game, especially for your first start, first time playing quarterback at the varsity level, really since back in junior high. And you really operated the offense. I know Coach Chase Horn is really comfortable with allowing you to you're making reads on multiple reads. Is what we can tell almost every play, and you're making really good ones. So that gives him a lot of leeway to use the playbook. But what would you say has made the difference for you being ready to come in week one and be the quarterback that you were last week?
Just having a clear mind, not letting any negative plays affect me. Just keep on to the next play.
One thing that I wanted to ask you, and I know Coach Williams has got some stuff to ask you, but in the past, I mean, you've been starting for a long time, playing a lot. You played wide receiver, was a really key wide receiver, and then you played cornerback, which you're still playing. How much do you think that helps you in playing the quarterback position, seeing the game from those positions, one on offense, one on defense, and especially from your defensive side in the secondary, overseeing other offenses operate? How has that really helped you to play quarterback and be prepared for it?
Well, honestly, you can see the cup. As a DB, you have coaches you have to supposed to be in at quarterback. You just read them, and it's easier for me to know the coverages and stuff, and know where the wide receiver needs to be, and adjust to the ball and all that.
Coach Horn, you know, we talked about the fact that so playing on both sides of the football. As we progress into the season, are there any plans maybe to kind of ease his burden some on defense, you know, maybe based on our opponents or based on what our opponents do, maybe fewer snaps for him on the defensive side? Has anything like that been discussed? I'm sure it has.
Yeah, I mean, me and Coach Horn and Coach Burkhalter, we sat down and we, you know, depending on the situation, kind of like you said, and who we're playing, what their game plans are, you know, we can rotate people in. I mean, we got some depth there to give Soap a little bit of break. And, you know, but we just know that if we need him, we can call upon him. He'll get the
That's
job
right.
done. So,
which side of the ball you like playing on, Soap?
It's 50-50. 50-50.
Good answer.
He had to answer that. But he looked at his quarterback coach when he said that. Like, is this a true story? I don't care which one of you answers, but when they first talked to you, Soap, about Coach Horn and the staff talked to you about making the shift to quarterback, I think you did. You did, I heard that you spoke about still wanting to make sure you played cornerback. Is that so? You still wanted to play some defense?
Yes, sir. I had told Coach Horn that when he asked me. I said I still want to play defense, and he said we'll see.
Well, he did.
We're still looking into it.
Still,
that was part of his NIL deal.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're very proud of Soap. You're proud of the offense, Coach Horn, and what they accomplished last week, putting up 40 points against Handy. Of course, one defensive touchdown, but really had some penalty flags, but really a big performance, throwing the ball, running the ball. You're able to do both really. You don't want to say it well, but you were able to do them both really well. Looking at depth at quarterback, I know you're mainly the quarterback coach. What does the depth look behind Soap? Hopefully we don't need it until it's late in the game, but what does it look like behind Soap right now?
Well, we got a couple guys coming up. JT Wilkerson, he'd probably be our next guy, and he's been through it a lot over the last 3 years with us. I feel confident if we had to call upon him, he would – get the job done. Then we got a couple of young guys that we're looking at. I mean, Hudson Foster's one, but he's injured right now, so we're kind of working some other people. Jaden Battle, he's a ninth grader. We're trying to work him in just to have some more options. And Ridge Waldrop, he moved in, you know, this summer. He's been working there. He's just not going to be able to play because of the transfer rules or whatever. I mean, however that goes,
yeah.
But he can't really play varsity level games yet. So we're trying to find some people to kind of fill some roles in case we need to get him out of the game for a little bit if we get ahead or anything like that. But the guys are working hard, and I think we'll have some depth coming there in the next couple of years.
Well, before we let you two go, I want to ask Soap, and I always try to do this. I want to ask him if there's anybody he wants to appreciate or give credit to or shout out to or anything. Not trying to put any pressure on you, but I think you've earned that right. I mean, we had a lot of good performances on Friday night. You know, sometimes you might say it's a little bit easier for a quarterbacker, but you had an outstanding performance, and a lot of other guys did too. So you really stood out amongst some players that had great nights. But anybody you like to thank or anybody you like to appreciate or say anything about?
First off, thank God, and thank Coach Warren and Coach Chase. The defense also took a little bit of pressure off me, holding them and stuff, keeping the lead, and yeah, that's it.
Hey, that's good enough, and it's a team thing, and I'll go back to the media day that we went to, and I remember what Soap's plan was, and when he said it wasn't like a jokingly. He talked about his brother, and he talked about his brother, and he talked about his father winning state championships for Coach Horn. And he said that that was his plan. And he's not just saying it. I mean, you can see it in the eyes, and that's still the goal, right? So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I know that's the type of work ethic he's got to be where he is now. So because of that, our first week, Deshaun Soap Gibbons is our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Game. It was Clay Central versus Handley on August the 23rd of 2024. This is presented by Britches and Bows. Congratulations, Soap.
Thank you.
We're going to thank you again, Coach Horn, for coming by and spending a little time with us. And I know Thursdays is usually a chance to get home a little sooner and to the family, so you can apologize for us when you get there for holding you out just a little bit.
Yeah, but I'll let her know.
Blame it on us. Yeah, she can jump us tomorrow night if need be, but it was good having you, and thank you for taking that time.
Thank y'all for all y'all do, too.
Y'all want to stick with us right here on Football Fiesta as we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back and we'll move into the third segment of Football Fiesta on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network.
Hill Auto Sales in Lineville is built on selection and service. They offer quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs for the people throughout this area. We all have different tastes, so Hill Auto Sales searches out the make and model that appeals to the most folks right here at home. Their website is buyfromhill.com. Their phone number is 256-396-1100. Open 8 till 5, Monday through Friday. Hill's Auto Sales is a sponsor of Volunteer Athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network.
Your Backdoor Feet Store in Ashland is helping little farmhands survive with all kinds of new boots for the new school year. And for mom and dad, they have feet for farm animals and farming supplies. Your Backdoor Feet Store, right off Ashland Square by Piggly Wiggly. Open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and 8 to 12 on Saturdays. Your Backdoor Feet Store.
At Central Alabama Community College, we believe success starts with having the right opportunities. That's why our motto, Central to You, Central to Your Success, is more than just words. It's a commitment to your future. Envision your dreams turning into reality with our diverse programs and supportive learning environment. Transform your ambitions into achievement. Enroll at Central Alabama Community College. Visit cacc.edu to register and start your journey today. Central Alabama Community College, proud supporters of Clay Central Athletics.
Don's Pawn and Jewelry in Ashland is a trusted local pawn shop with years of experience serving Clay County residents and beyond. The shop has items including jewelry, electronics, tools, guns, and more. With a reputation for reliability, Don's Pawn and Jewelry has a secure and friendly environment. Conveniently located on Court Square in Ashland, the shop is a well-known spot in the community for quality goods and trusted service. 256-354-2727. 256-354-2727.
The Central Alabama Gas District is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Located Highway 77 in Ashland, East Central Alabama Gas has teamed up with Natural Gas Connection as your hometown natural gas appliance store. They offer free financing up to 60 months. East Central Alabama Gas has Generac generators, tankless water heaters, space heaters, and gas logs, as well as grills. Their phone number is 256-354-2194. East Central Alabama Gas District. Natural gas, comfortable, responsible.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán number 2 on the Ashland Square as we'll move into our second part of the hour here. As we've had two segments, if you're just now joining us, we've just awarded Deshaun Soap Gibbons the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, presented by Britches and Bows. Coach Heron, you gave up your headset to Coach Horn for us to be able to do that, and I wanted to give you a chance to speak to what you witnessed last week and what you saw out of Soap Gibbons.
Well, you know, mostly the thing that's, and this is a play that didn't even exist officially. The play that caught my mind the most, because that stood out to me, that it was a play, and it was a run he made, and he went down, came down the sideline you guys were on in the first quarter, going down the home side, down the Hanley sideline, and it was called back by a penalty. But the speed he showed on that play as he escaped and got out and coming down that sideline was speed that I had not seen out of Soap at the few practices that I'd been to. I mean, he was moving down through there. That's kind of what got me. And so you had that type of speed from him to the running backs, you know, that's already there. I mean, that's, again, we talked earlier, that balance, that dimension. I mean, it's just but then his leadership at times, you know, in the passing game, there were times where his protection broke down. His footwork, he's able to escape and still complete something in the passing game or pick up something on the run there. And then at times when the protection did hold and it did work correctly, he had the time to progress through what he needed to do on those plays without that, you know, that added pressure there. I mean, he performed tremendously. And
speaking of that speed, Coach, think of the relay team we could have.
Oh, Coach, yes, yes. I mean, you know, Coach Watts is just, you know, she can't wait to get at them next spring. That's right.
Well, let's move into the Benjamin Russell Wildcats, the 6A team. They fell last week in a pretty close a game to a very good Opelika Bulldog team, and they'll be coming in to Volunteer Stadium. What's the winning streak? I know we beat them last year. Is it? Do you guys know
that? Just one. Yeah.
They beat us the week, mm-hmm. the year before, and it's even. The series is even at 5-5.
It is,
which is very strange.
And as close as that is, and that could not be any closer. If you look a little deeper into that series, 10 years it's been played. Clay Central has scored 232 points. And Benjamin Russell has scored 239 points. So there's only a 7-point difference in 10 games of the points that both of those teams have scored against each other. I mean, that average is 23.2 points a game for Central, 23.9 points a game for Ben Russell. Less than a point difference average. Pretty even, pretty
been,
even series.
You know, the whole series, as you said, has been even.
Yes.
Of course, we'll look to break that tie tomorrow night.
That's right.
They're coached by Coach Smitty Grider. We've heard of him before. He spent some time at Beauregard, actually 8 seasons. He's been at Park Cross and Hazel Green, Dothan, and Benjamin Russell in his third season. He's 18-7 there. Of course, I mentioned he's 143-72 on his career. He also had a 1 year at Coosa Central, I think, is where he started his career. And one thing that you notice about Coach Grider is once he's got into the coaching and got moved forward, it's been at a higher levels, like 5A, 6A. So it's up at more advanced size schools. But, you know, they're a well-coached team. They have a huge staff. And the first thing that jumps out at me is something that didn't last year when we played them, is the offensive and defensive lines. And it's mainly the same guys that they played last year. So, you know, size-wise, they're just really huge, especially at the two offensive tackles.
Well, their offensive line is, you know, four starters back from last year plus the size. It's a formidable matchup for our defensive front again. But, you know, one thing that stood out to me that's different from last year. You know, last year they had a big, strong quarterback that liked to stand in the pocket, and he was really not a threat to run the ball that much. But this year they've got a young man, a junior named Elijah Johnson, and they actually run a lot of RPO stuff to try to get him out where he's got an option to pass or run. And that's going to put a little bit more pressure on us from a defensive standpoint, having to defend a quarterback that can run. And, you know, then they still have Tajarius Wilson, that's a real good running back as well. So they're a little bit different offensively in that the quarterback's going to be more involved. And you know, with him being a runner on the RPO, their running game is really quite simple. They're going to run some zones, some counters, maybe a counter special. And that's their running game, other than when they get the short yardage. And when they get in the short yardage situation, they'll load up the backfield with some extra backs. They'll even get in a wildcat formation at times. And, you know, what they're trying to do is on that RPO, they'll fake some of those running plays, and they like to throw deep routes to a receiver who is a D1 recruit. That would be Sadarian Morgan,
which is just a junior.
Yeah, and he's 6'4 as well. So
6'4, 215.
Yeah, so that's going to put some pressure on our defense, because he's going to be a matchup problem for us. And of course, we'll talk more about that and the keys to the game tomorrow night in the pregame show. But they're different offensively than they were last year, and they pose, I think, some more problems for us from the defensive side.
Coach Heron, what's your take on the Wildcats?
Well, you look at them, you know, you look at their offense across that front, you know, returning guys there. Four guys returning starters from last year, actually four seniors up there too. So, you know, you've got guys that have played, they've got that experience. So you know, you're not going to fool them a whole lot with what happens there. And you know, it's just it's their version of the spread, their version of RPOs, that type of thing, the zones, the counters. You know, it's just defensively, I think, you know, we're going to have to just do what we do and try to be disruptive and make some movement up there. You look at their defense against our offense, you know, starting up front. You know, they're going to run we're going to see some 4-2 out of them, some 5-2 or 3-4, whichever one you want to call it. They'll be bared down, you know, having our center covered and our two guards covered there in the middle. We're going to see some shades, you know, on our guards, inside shades on our guards, outside shades, and that type of thing. And of course, a very good argument could be made, I think, that their defensive line is the strength of their team. Those four down guys that they use are very good, you know, very good football players and very good defensive linemen. They've got good size. They can move.
Two seniors and two sophomores.
Exactly. And it's a good mixture right there on that defensive front. They seem to be, you know, against Opelika, you know, they're very gap sound. They play with good technique. They don't do a lot of stunting, it doesn't appear, to maybe on third downs when they start actually doing some movement on you and that type thing. So, you know, offensively, you know, we're going to have to be sure we can handle, you know, what happens on there. And it's going to come down. They're very strong on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, as good teams are, you know, and that's where your success is going to start or stop along the line of scrimmage.
Well, one thing that real quick mention, I think the strength of their defense are those two defensive sophomores. To me, watching them on film, and I've watched a lot of film this week,
right.
Caleb Spivey and Rendarius Beard or Bird, is those two guys stood out to me defensively.
They do.
And they're both sophomores.
They are just two sophomores.
So
you know?
Keep that in mind.
Right.
Let me mention this. See you, Coach Aaron. You know, Coach Grider's base defense has always been the 50 or the three-man front.
Right.
And we saw primarily a four-man front this past Friday that they used. And, and I'm thinking he may have done more of that because of the size of Opelika's
right.
offensive front. He wanted to get an extra defensive lineman in there. And I'm thinking that we may see some more of his base defense.
Mm-hmm.
Could that possibly pose a problem for us from an offensive standpoint, having to block two different styles of defensive look?
Well, I know it's been worked on at practice because we practiced against ourselves so much, you know. But as far as going into a game situation, you know, we hadn't seen that yet. And we're going to see it at some point during the year. So, yes, it could, you know, if they throw that at us early on and it's, you know, in that environment and in a game on a, you know, game situation, you know, it's going to take you a few plays to get used to that. But it's something that our front guys have seen, and it should, you know, we won't be totally foreign to them.
And of course, right now we've only seen one game,
exactly.
So we've got to go on.
That's all
what
you can go
saying.
By. Sure. But you go by again. This goes back, Coach. I think you'd agree. It goes back to where it's a coach you've played before. You know his tendency. What he's got in his.
And that's been the other defense,
right? You know what he's done before. So you always kind of focus on what you know he's doing right now, but you always at least introduce and show your guys, hey, now, don't be surprised if this happens, the little different lineup here. And that goes back to playing coaches over periods of time.
Right.
I tell you what, let's take another break and get prepared for our last segment here where we'll be looking at our opponents, what they did last week, who they'll be playing tomorrow night, and then also the 5A top 10 and wherever else we want to go. So you'll want to stick around right here on Football Fiesta, live from Monte Albán number 2 on Classic Country 90.9.
The Radio Alabama Foundation is sponsored by loyal listeners and by First Capital Insurance in Lineville. Are you looking for peace of mind? At First Capital Insurance, we've got you covered. From your home to your car to your business to life insurance, we offer tailored coverage that fits your needs and budget. Our expert team is here to guide you through every step, ensuring that you get the protection that you deserve. First Capital Insurance, located at 575 College Street in Lineville. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. With First Capital Insurance, you're not just a policy number, you're family.
Frank's Point of View is an RV campground in Ashland, Alabama, situated with views of the Talladega National Forest. The campground features camping and RV sites with access to hiking trails, nature walks, and grassy areas. Frank's Point of View is known for its scenic nighttime vistas. More details about Frank's Point of View campground amenities and features are available online at frankspointofview.com or 256-378-1201.
Harris Plumbing and Electric is Ashland's DIY store. They have all your gardening products, along with everything to take care of the inside and outside of your home. Heck, they even have ice cream makers and knives. If you need it, they have it or will get it for you. Think local. Harris Plumbing and Electric on 2nd Street Northwest in Ashland, across from the Ashland City Library.
Simple, fast, accurate. Hi, I'm Chad Jones, President and CEO of First Bank of Alabama. We know life moves fast, and that's why we've made banking simple. With our cutting-edge mobile app, you can manage your finances anytime from anywhere life takes you, like paying bills, transferring funds, and even check deposits right from your phone. Banking that fits your lifestyle. First Bank of Alabama, where you are first. Online at fbal.bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We welcome you back here to the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network for Football Fiesta, live from Monte Albán number 2. This is Rusty Taylor, and I'm joined by Coach Jerry Weems and Coach Chris Herron as we wrap up this last segment of Football Fiesta. We're going to look at our opponents and how they fared last week. Coach Herron, you want to lead us through this?
Absolutely. I would love to, Taylor. Hey, of course, the Hanley Tigers, we know they fell last week to our Central Vols 40-7 in their season opener. This week, they'll be making the trip down to Dadeville, Alabama, taking on that bunch of Tigers down there in Dadeville. Ben Russell, 0-1 after first game, after their 28-14 loss to Opelika last week, and they'll make the trip up to Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night. The Valley Rams, hey, they're at 0-1 after losing their first game to the Glenwood School. Glenwood coming into the AHSAA after a very successful run in AISA, and Glenwood picking up that win over Valley 21-20 to collect their first win in school history in AHSAA ball. They'll be at home this week, Valley will be, taking on Smith Station. They'll be coming into Valley to take on the Rams. The Marbury Bulldogs, 0-1 on the year, losing, dropping one last week to Stanhope Elmore, 28-13. They'll be at home this week, the Marbury Bulldogs will be, as they've got Bayside Academy making the trip up from right on the coast.
Goodness.
Down in Mobile, or is it Mobile or Baldwin County for Bayside Academy? I'm not sure. I think it'd be Baldwin County. Yeah, I think it's Baldwin County. But a trip for Bayside, making the trip up to Marbury to take on those Bulldogs. Sylacauga, the Aggies, on the other side of Bull Gap Mountain. From where we sit right now, they traveled down to Coosa last week, Coosa Central, and picked up the 69-28 win over the Cougars of Coosa Central. They'll be at home tomorrow night at Legion Stadium as they take on the Montevallo Bulldogs. Montevallo, a new team in 5A this year, as they've made the move up. The Bulldogs of Montevallo there in Sylacauga taking on the Aggies. The Scottsboro Wildcats, they're 1-0 after a first-week win over Fort Payne, 31-6.
6A5 is fifth-ranked
Scottsboro.
Fort Payne.
Yes, that's right. And this week they'll be making a trip, their first road game. They'll be traveling to North Jackson, taking on the North Jackson Chiefs this week. Elmore County, there's those Panthers that are in our region. They're 1-0 after a 28-7 win over Dadeville last week, and they'll be hosting Tallahassee this week. The Tallahassee Tigers rolling in to Eclectic. The Hopeful Bulldogs, last week they were at home against the Trinity Wildcats from Montgomery. Hopeful falling to Trinity 21-10, and this week Hopeful making the trip up 65 and across Highway 25 to Columbiana to take on the Shelby County Wildcats. Beauregard, the Hornets, they're at 0-1 after a 19-14 loss at Wetumpka last week, and they're on the road again this week, coming up our way and going even a little farther north, as Beauregard will be at Anniston taking on that bunch of Bulldogs.
That's an interesting matchup.
Tomorrow night, it is.
I mean, it just shows me that Beauregard maybe, and you think about them being in Lee County and having a lot of teams.
Right.
There is a lot of teams down there, but they seem to be very small or very large.
Right.
So it's hard for Beauregard's, very similar to us,
yes,
about finding
similar
somebody
size
to be taking on Anniston. I thought that was an interesting matchup.
That's a road trip you don't really see much of during the regular season. And then our final opponent this year, we'll be playing in week 9. Week 9, but it'll be our last game. The Pell City Panthers, hey, with their new coach, Coach Nick Gentry, they're 1-0 on the year after a win over another set of Panthers that came over from Pelham to Pete Rich Stadium, and Pell City defeated the Pelham Panthers 35-7, and they're at home again this week as they take on Coosa Christian in their second game of the season. And that's a look.
Coosa's Christian, we did look, and they're moved up to 2A from 1A this year, I think. We made that look.
And that game, you're going to look at that, and you're going to think, well, Pell City and Coosa Christian, well, that seems to be kind of a pretty good mismatch. But there's some of that, part of that reason is Coach Rush Probst had been at Coosa Christian as an assistant head coaching role and then obtained the job at Pell City. And so he had worked that contract out and was going to go back and play those guys and that program. So that's why that game exists on the schedule for those two teams.
Well, Coach Weems, I know you've got the top 10 and the 5A top 10 and maybe who they're playing, or do you have who they're playing or who they played last week? Just give me what you got. How about that?
We'll start by giving you the top 10. Gunnersville, is the new number one team this week.
Does that surprise you guys a little bit that they moved Gunnersville? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, Gunnersville's hung around in the top 10 for the last few years. But, well, they started out, they were two, weren't they? Or three, four. They were one behind us. And they jumped us and went to number one.
Moody was number one,
yeah.
Right?
Moody lost last week. They fell to number five. Ramsey was number two last week. They lost to Parker and fell to number four. So the Gunnersville is number one. In the second spot is a 4A school that's up to 5A this year, Catholic of Montgomery. And, of course, you know, I don't know how good they are, but they've really had some great seasons in 4A. And then Central Clay, we moved up one spot into the fourth spot. Ramsey and Moody, as we mentioned, 4 and 5. Another team that's kind of been around in the top 10 for a few years is Fairview. And they jumped up into the sixth slot. And then one of our opponents, Scottsboro, number 7. And then a new team, new to the top 10 this week, is Vigor. And then the top 10 is rounded out by Briarwood, which is another team up from 4A into 5A. And then some other teams, there's 7 or 8 other teams that got votes. Some of them that, you know, we've kept up with through the years in 5A, Center Point, Headland, Eufaula, Charles Henderson, Boaz, Demopolis, Arab, Greenville, Corner. Jacksonville is up from 4A into 5A, and then Russellville as well. Russellville was number 10 last week. They lost and fell out. So Gunnersville in there in the 10th, in the number one spot this week. And when you look at some of these games, Gunnersville this week, a tough matchup. They'll be playing 6A Fort Payne on the road. So,
well, I don't know how tough, Coach. Scottsboro didn't think they were too tough.
Well, Scottsboro may be better than we thought.
Yeah.
But anyway, Gunnersville taking that road trip. And then Ramsey will play another team from the Birmingham area, Clay Chalkville. Catholic of Montgomery will play St. Clair County. Andalusia, which fell out of the top 10, they play Hillcrest of Evergreen. Eufaula will play Russell County this week. Demopolis will play Jackson down in South Alabama. Vigor plays Tuscaloosa County. And then in a good matchup in the Birmingham area there, Briarwood will play Homewood. So a lot of good games in 5A, and it's going to be another great week, Rusty, in the state, particularly in 5A.
I know somebody really well that's going to get a first-hand look at one of those teams tomorrow night.
He's calling them.
He is.
Which
Fairview's playing Springville.
Okay, they must be at Springville.
They are.
You know, we've talked a lot about Fairview the past few years, and last year they actually finished 10-0, and then they lost either in the first or
the
second round.
Well, they match up to that Birmingham region, yeah, usually right off the bat,
and
right?
They get put out pretty quick every year.
But we will have some first sight information on them tomorrow, after tomorrow night. But
and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't beat Springville.
I would be a little surprised if they didn't. Springville's still in 6A. I know they've been back and forth 5 to 6A.
I believe they
are. I believe they're still 6A. Well, Coach Herron, anything that stood out to you on that top 10 list and maybe some opponents for tomorrow night?
It's just early. Guys? It's early.
Yeah, and you know what that's for?
There's not much. It's for us.
It's for us.
For us.
We're media guys,
sure,
to be able to talk to.
It's for us.
Talk about
it. You know, is the season shakes out, plays out?
I'm just shocked they didn't ask us to help.
Well, I can't believe that. Yeah, I mean,
at least one of us.
Maybe we just sort of start our own poll.
I've been working on that.
It's
kind of like college football doing the bowl
rankings. Does
Altor
get to vote on that?
In the middle of the season.
I don't know if he does or not. Sports writers? He may. I don't know. I don't know if he does or not.
I think he may.
He may do it. That's something we can need to find out.
One vote.
I do have something I'd like to say, if you don't mind, just a minute. Can I give a college football score? Just because I can.
Is it up?
It's right now, Coach. It's an updated score as of right now. At the start of the third quarter, Rutgers 17, Howard 7.
What a game.
A live score.
That's one of those FBS, FCS.
But it's live, Coach.
And
it's,
it involves a Big Ten
game. Two of those letters were right anyway.
What about a Brave score?
Give us that.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom of the fourth.
That'll get Coach really excited.
Atlanta 3, Philadelphia 0.
And, you know, Atlanta has pulled within 5 games.
They have, Coach.
after y'all wrote them off when all the people were in there, just like I did.
But yeah. They're on the move.
They are on the move. Well, let's keep Jacksonville State will be
they're fixing
hosting
to play Coastal Carolina.
Just minutes away from kickoff, absolutely.
And their refurbished facilities mm-hmm. up there and getting that first time for a lot of people. I bet they've got a packed house.
Coastal Carolina there up in Birmingham at Protective Stadium, the home of this year's Super 7.
Is that tonight?
At UAB hosting Alcorn State.
Tonight?
Yes, sir.
Some biggies tonight.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Y'all were able to talk to Coach Holtz. I heard him kind of giving them a shout out.
Yeah, we had him on 3-point stance this morning.
Well, he talked about Dilfer and the UAB Blazers mm-hmm. and how he was pulling for them tonight.
Right. They share that stadium with them. So, yeah, good stuff. It's a great time of year. You know, some people talk about around Christmas the most wonderful time of the year, but I think this may be it.
Well, and
from now till then. From now till Christmas.
I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Is there any other – Coach, you got your score sheet. We were going to look at the rest of the – any
well,
other
I'll
games
tell you, what,
you want to stand out
Let's
here,
look at
mention.
Some games that in our coverage area that are related to the Clay Central Sports Network.
The radio, and it's Radio Alabama Sports. Yep. All these you can
Radio
hear
Alabama.
In different places on Radio Alabama Sports.
B.B. Comer tomorrow night will play Vincent. And, of course, Comer kind of reeling after that lopsided loss to Wadley last week. And I think they'll find it even tougher when they line up against Vincent. And then we've got Childersburg will be playing Talladega in a big Talladega County battle over there. And then Fayetteville, which is over on the other side of Sylacauga, as we all know, will be playing Billingsley High School tomorrow night. Auburn High School plays Vestavia Hills, a Birmingham school, on Friday night. And then the other team that's a part of the Radio Alabama Sports Network, Lee Scott, will be playing Lochapoca. So those are some games that we'll be keeping up with tomorrow night. And then looking at some other games around our locality here, the team that we played last week, of course, Hanley, they'll be traveling to Dadeville to play the Dadeville Tigers tomorrow night. And some other games of interest in Calhoun County, Alexandria and Jacksonville will play. Cleburne County, our neighbors to the east, will be playing Sardis. Oxford and Moody, we mentioned that game earlier, two ranked teams. Oxford looking to stay undefeated. Moody looking to win their first game. And then another big game in Calhoun County, Sachs and Piedmont will clash. And then locally, Woodland and Ranburn, a big rival game there. And Randolph County will play Coosa Central tomorrow night. So that's just a look at some of the games around our immediate area, Rusty, that we have tomorrow night.
Yeah, those are some very interesting matchups. Coach Herron, you got something there to share with us you want to mention?
Well, some of those teams that he gave part of our Radio Alabama Foundation, Radio Alabama Sports family, are covered by RadioAlabamaSports.net, a place you can go. You can download that Radio Alabama app. You go into your app store and download Radio Alabama, one word, spell that all out. Do a search there, and you can find those seven networks that cover Aggies, Auburn High School, Clay Central, Comer, Fayetteville, Lee Scott, and the Tiger Sports Network, Childersburg, all part of the Radio Alabama Sports family of networks. So,
we're about a minute away from closing out Football Fiesta. Coach, you got anything? Coach Herron, we'll start with you and come down. What you got anything to share?
Looking forward to tomorrow night. You know the old coaching saying, you improve your most on your first and second game. Looking to see if on the offensive line, you know, our effort stays well. We keep some of the points of emphasis this week was getting a little more depth on some of our pass pro sets, keeping staying square to the line of scrimmage, maybe a little more aggressive on our play action passes, and just the little things that we saw we needed to correct from last week along the line of scrimmage.
Coach Williams?
Well, you know, this will continue the series between these two schools, and, you know, this will be one of the better teams that we'll play from a physical standpoint when we line up tomorrow night, and it'll be a good test for us to see exactly where we are before we get into region play the next week.
Well, a couple things I want to mention. We'll go on the air tomorrow night on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network with the Coosa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine at Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show at 6:30. You'll want to stick around. We'll be giving you the keys to the game, the Franks Part of View keys to the game, and then we'll be moving into the game at 7 o'clock, so you want to join us for all of that tomorrow night. You can catch us live right here, however you listen to us tonight. Remember, Saturday morning, volunteer voices will air from 8 to 10 o'clock in the morning right here. And then following that, something new this week, following that, our broadcast will be replayed from tomorrow night's game on Saturday at 10 o'clock. So immediately following the volunteer voices, the game will be replayed on Classic Country 90.9.
Will you listen to that?
Probably, but I also have the app, so I can go back and listen at
to the podcast. I listened to you guys part of the weekend last week.
So I have that ability to do that.
Absolutely.
But that is an opportunity. As always, catch the three-point stance. It's on each weekday morning, and it comes on at 8 to 10 each weekday morning. You can hear a lot more about volunteer sports and college sports, NFL, professional sports, you name it. It'll be talked about during that two-hour show. And then next Thursday night, we'll be right back here for Football Fiesta each week at 6 o'clock, and it ends at 7. We appreciate you for joining us here tonight. Till next time, God bless, and go Vols.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network.